Salvation is through the precious blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the abyss of God's eternal wisdom, it has been decreed that without the shedding of blood, there shall be no remission of sin. It is from the precious blood of Jesus Christ alone that our salvation comes. Tomorrow we will be celebrating the independence, if I am not wrong, of the United States. After the independence, you well know that, of course, things are not yet perfect. They are still getting to where we are today in the U.S. So the blacks were, at the time, we were slaves. Even if Pope Gregory the Great wrote encyclicals to condemn such acts, but still that continued. So the first black priest we had in the United States was a slave. He was a slave of Catholic masters. Of course, they were principled, but they baptized the parents of the first black priest, and even he was baptized when he was born. But still, at the time, they were still undergoing sufferings of different kinds, and because of that, his father wanted the liberation of the blacks. His name is Father Augustine Tolton. He went through various trials in his life, even if at his time the slave trade was stopped and slavery was condemned by the U.S. But still, he went through different disappointments, different trials of different shades. But he found consolation in the reception he had from the Catholic priests at the time. Two of them that he got continual assistance from was a German and an Irish, Father Schiffmeyer and Father McGee. They helped him a great deal, and because of their kindness and their goodness to him, he started discerning or answering the call to the priesthood. Of course, it was impossible at the time because of the way the priests, they felt, both of them, that he had a vocation, but it was difficult for him to actualize that vocation. But still, they kept on encouraging him, and finally, he was sent to Rome, where he studied and was ordained a priest, and sent back to the United States. And his trials continued. In fact, when he was in Rome, the desire he had was to go to be a missionary in Africa, but after his ordination, he was sent back to the United States, and his trials continued. But still, one thing he never forgot was the goodness of God in his life. In fact, his mother told him that he never forget that, the goodness of the Lord. So even despite all of the trials, he still had a cheerful atmosphere around him because of God's goodness to him. He died eventually on the 9th of July, when he was 43 years old. When we consider the redeeming grace won for us by the precious blood, how is our heart inflamed with the love of God? One drop of our Lord's precious blood was sufficient to redeem even more, 1,000 worlds, because His human nature, our Lord's human nature, was united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And that union is what is known as the hypostatic union. So every act of our Lord was of infinite value. So one drop of his blood was sufficient to save the whole world, and 1,000 worlds even. But his Father had willed that he should come to earth, assume human nature, and shed his entire blood. Why? To manifest to us who he was redeeming, his infinite love for us, but he has loved us with an everlasting love. So that is why he shed all of his blood for us, to show that love which he has for each and every one of us. For Christ said, greater love than this no man has than to lay down his life for his friends. You should remember one thing, that Christ, God, did not owe us redemption. When Adam and Eve had sinned, he wasn't he didn't need to say, but just like when the angels disobeyed him, they were condemned eternally. He didn't have any reason whatsoever to say, but except because of his mercy towards us. St. Augustine said, man had been able to sell themselves, but they were not able to redeem themselves. So we could sin against God, but we could not redeem ourselves. Why? Because we are finite creatures and God is infinite. So the measure of the offense done to another person is measured according to him who is offended. So if I, for instance, offend a child, it is of course a bad thing to do, even if it is not as grave as if I should offend, say, the president or the king or say my mother even. That is greater than offending a child. So the offense committed is measured according to the dignity of the person who is offended. So when Adam sinned and disobeyed God, when he sold his soul to the devil, he was offending an infinitely good God. So no matter how sorry he was, he could not save, redeem himself. Even Our Lady could not redeem man, even if she was most pure, because she was finite and God is infinite. So a Redeemer came, our God, Lord, sent his only begotten Son, who is also God, to redeem us. He paid a great price by shedding his entire blood. When our Lord's side was pierced with a lance, and from it flowed blood and water, the church, the bride of Christ, was formed, just as the woman was formed from the side of the first Adam whilst he slept. So as Adam was sleeping, our Lord God took up a rib from him and formed the woman who was to be his wife. So also when the lance or lance was used to open the side of Christ, the church was born from his side. The blood which flows symbolizes the sacraments of the church. Why? Because the sacraments are simply the machinery of the precious blood. They are the means by which it first conquers by sanctifying and then keeps what it has conquered. They are under ordinary circumstances the conduits by which it is conveyed to the souls for whom it was shed. They are God's system for dispensing it. We should have not only an inadequate but an absolutely wrong notion of the empire of the precious blood if we did not see it as working and circulating through the sacraments. They are the grand features of its empire. It is the sacraments which hinder it from being a past historical expiation for sin. By them, referring to the sacraments, the precious blood is always truly flowing in the church. Even more, by them it is forever being shed afresh within the church. St. Augustine said, the blood of Christ to them that will it, or to them that will, is salvation. On the other hand, the blood of Christ to them that are unwilling is punishment or condemnation. They that know the blood of Christ, who are they? They are those who enter the church of Christ and avail themselves of the sacraments by frequent and worthy reception of them. They indeed it is who the blood of Christ availeth unto salvation. Just as they, both men and animals alike, who went through the door of Noah's ark, were saved from the deluge. So everything that happens in our salvation history doesn't happen by chance. I said that yesterday. Because God is infinitely wise, he directs all things swiftly and wisely. The proverb says that the heart of the king is in the hand of God and he directed it wheresoever he wishes. So you see in the Old Testament, after man sinned and God promised the Messiah, even if it took so many thousands of years before the Messiah came, every action was planned by God. So you see so many figures of the new law. So for instance, Noah's Ark is a figure of the Church of Christ. So when God told Noah to build the ark, and he told him to have a door by his side and let people go through the door and animals, and when they are in the ark, they will not be subsumed or taken away by the deluge. It has a figure of the church. So those who go into the Church of Christ and who receive worthily the sacraments of the church are those to whom the precious blood availeth unto salvation. This, my dear faithful, is a further indication that the Novus Ordo, or the church that emanated from the Second Vatican Council, is not the church Christ founded. It is not the church that flowed from the side of Christ or was formed from Christ's side. Because if the Novus Ordo is the Catholic Church, those who enter into it and do all that the Novus Ordo hierarchy asks them to do ought to save their souls, because the Church of Christ is that ark through which salvation comes to us. However, the contrary is the case. Those who enter the Novus Ordo and follow all that is done there either lose the faith entirely or become indifferent by saying that that belonging to the Church Christ founded is not necessary for salvation. One then asks, if belonging to the Church of Christ is not necessary for salvation, why then did Christ found it at such a great price and commanded all to enter it if they must be saved? It's almost like saying that Noah's Ark wasn't necessary for people to be saved, but we know that is not true. Every animal, every man, every living creature who was not in Noah's Ark perished in the deluge. So if the Novus Ordo is the Catholic Church, then we should be in it and we should save ourselves by following what we are told to do there. But from the fact, evidence proves that those in the Novus Ordo on a daily basis lose the faith, or at the very least they say that it is not necessary for you to be Catholic. It shows clearly that the Novus Ordo cannot be the church Christ founded, which cost him a great price. Now, who are those who are unwilling to accept the blood of Christ, and who the blood of Christ is the punishment and not salvation? They are they who do not avail themselves of the blood of Christ. How do they do this? By rejecting the church Christ founded and the sacraments, which are the ordinary means by which the blood of Christ is applied to us. Now we who are members of Christ's church and have availed ourselves of the sacraments, how can we profit the more from the continual flow of Christ's blood in the church? It is through devotion to the precious blood. We do not want to be like the one who, having received the pearl of great price, not having valued it at its true worth, was careless with it and let it be stolen away from him. Children usually don't know the value of what they have, so they sometimes, you may give them, let's use American currency, you give them $50 and give them $1. $50 doesn't look nice, and give them $1. And then because the $1 is neat, you go for the $1. You say, no, thank you. So, no, I don't want this, I don't want. The reason is because they don't know the value of it. So if you give them both of them, they may just give the $1 and ignore the $50, because they don't know that $50 is worth more than the $1 because of the way it looks. That's what happens when we do not have devotion to the precious, but we don't value the sacraments of the church as we ought. We don't profit from the graces which God has in store for us when we receive worthily the sacraments of Christ's church. So, devotion to the precious blood makes us see that we have been redeemed with a precious price, indeed with a price of infinite value. It fills us with gratitude to God for his great goodness. Indeed, it makes us say with the psalmist, the mercies of the Lord I will sing forever. It makes us avail ourselves regularly of a worthy reception of the sacraments. Each sacrament received should bring us closer to God. It should bring us closer to the perfection God has willed for us. Each one of us has been given in God's providence and wisdom that degree of perfection which God has willed that we should attain in this world, and so we ought to strive daily to attain it, and this striving only ends in death. May Christ's blood, we pray, be within us as a fountain of water springing up unto life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.